you would, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through probably 13 there. I understand, and thinking about the pastor, he came home to his plumbing problems. I guess he didn't have water or something along that line. So there's a number of things that he was having to deal with. There's been a lot of exciting things that went on in that mission trip, and boy, a lot of things where you knew something special was going to happen because Satan was doing everything within his power to discourage him. One person told me, yeah, he's been doing a lot of stuff on in my situation here going down there, but boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'm walking with him hand in hand as a result of just getting there, and I just can't wait to see what the Lord will do once I get there. And of course, we knew God is exactly like that. All right, we're going to look here at some verses. And, of course, in 2 Corinthians, we know the Apostle Paul has been challenged by the Corinthians as to the validity of his ministry. They were belittling him. It was probably Satan working through this church there. But in this chapter here, all right, he shares several things that validate his ministry. In the verse 1, he first of all tells us about his determination in preaching the gospel there. And then on next point we see here, looking at verses 2 through 5, he shares with them his honesty, that he's not in it for whatever he can gain from it, but he's in it just to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to be faithful in preaching the gospel. Then the next thing we see here, looking at verses 5 through 13, we see his humility and the suffering he went through in preaching the gospel and making it very clear that Well, there was no glory in it as far as for himself was concerned, but it was an honor for him to serve the Lord. And then last we see here, verses 14 through 18, he talks about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was thinking about this message today, or this morning basically, I was thinking about the men that signed that document that we all know as the Declaration of Independence. There was 56 of them, and these men made a pledge to each other that they would be willing to give their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor in doing this, all right? It's interesting when you think about that word sacred honor. They're really very concerned about their reputation. And back in those days, boy, if you were slandering somebody, you were in for a rough-up time. My grandfather was one of the old guys back in those days, and you would say something about one of his family members about that, next thing you know, you more than likely would have a punch in the nose back in those days. And of course, that's what was going on with these fellows. But nonetheless, they took this document and they wrote on that document there exactly what they believed, all right, and why they felt like things weren't going the way they should with England. And they sent it to him. But they made it very clear, all right, in writing that out, what their beliefs were. Along with that, they signed that paper there. And so many people back in those days said those guys just went ahead and signed their own death warrant. There's no way the king was going to let this go by. They were doing this in the face of one of the most powerful countries on earth, all right, and they had everything available to back up whatever they were going to do. But as a result of that, they suffered for it. And we all know about that, the different things they went through as a result of that. When I think kind of what we see here, looking at the verses I'm going to read, kind of go along with that, where we see over here in chapter 4, looking at beginning with verse 7, where it says, and this is Paul speaking, okay, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not be of God and not of us, okay? So again, he's making it clear. He said, I'm not anything special. I'm just an old clay pot. Going down to verse 8, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be manifested in our bodies. For which we live, are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, all right, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And of course, we know that's talking about denying ourselves, and that's what he was doing. That's what he did. Verse 13, we see there, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, I just pray you, God, and direct what I've got here, Lord. I know I need your help right now, Father, and I just pray you'll guide me and direct me, and as I share the things that you've laid on my heart, Lord. And again, we thank you so much that we have the privilege of being in church today, Lord, celebrating our nation's birthday, Father. We just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses, we see a number of things here. We see Paul's faithfulness and desiring to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also make it, he makes it clear here that he was willing, what was in his heart is what he shared, okay? We saw that in that verse where we see here, I believe, therefore I've spoken. And in the world that we're in today, we have a lot of Christians that are struggling with that. This past week, I had a number of situations come to me as I was down in Baltimore where folks were coming to me and asking me about, is it true? What do you think about this, Pastor? What do you think about what's going on down there at the ballpark and all this? And wanted to know what I believed in that. And I began to realize the challenge God was giving me there was the fact that I believe certain things. And because I believe those things, I need to speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to become a stand-up Christian in the world we're in today. There's many people out there, and I had a person that was there who was trying to intimidate me in the fact of what they said. They told me that what I was, and I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and God loves you, and God wants me to share the gospel with you in this situation here. Of course, that person was not so much interested in that, but nonetheless, what we see going on here is that Paul said, I'm speaking from a heart of conviction. All right. And we as Christians, you know what? I'm finding out more and more. We need to be Christians that have convictions about certain things the Bible tells us. All right. We know what the Bible says. He created a man and a woman. There's no doubt about that. So I'm convicted on that. There's no doubt about that. I'm a stand up Christian when it comes to that. I believe exactly what the Word of God says in that situation. Matter of fact, I believe the whole Bible. I believe the King James Bible. All right. And of course, we know there's a lot of translations out there that have gotten to the point where people no longer really know what in the world God does say. It's very confused. They got all kinds of renditions to it. But nonetheless, God made me aware of the fact that we need to be like the Apostle Paul. I believe certain things, and because I believe certain things, I have convictions about these things. All right, I know what God wants me to do, and I need to be speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ in those things. I wrote down here, We often say this, I believe, and when we say I believe, that's talking about a personal trust. I know it's true, okay? And therefore, I have spoken, and that, again, is talking about a personal testimony. One of the things we teach at Church Open Door, Pastor Ray is part of this group, where we teach Christians how important it is to have a testimony where you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell people how you got saved. All right, there's no stronger testimony than that where you tell them, this is what the Lord did in my life, and this is how God has changed me. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, looking at this thing as far as true faith is concerned, I guess that's kind of the title of my message here. There are basically several things here that I want us to see as we look at this aspect of faith and about what it says here. I believe something, therefore I'm going to speak what I believe. I'm going to be bold with it. First point I have here is that true faith is a vital thing. We see over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to believe him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of men that diligently seek him. And so what God's telling us there, he said, I want you to come to me and, you know, have faith in me and trust. Is God a God that can preserve us and keep us? I was down in Baltimore not long ago, and the fact that I was in a situation there where a person was having a very difficult time. It was a person had gotten shot, and I was with that person, and I was talking to them about the Lord and how the Lord is there with them, and he'll protect you in this situation, and he'll help you through this challenge you're facing right now. But I told him again, I asked him, I said, have you ever trusted Christ as Savior? And this person made it clear to me that no, they had not done that. And of course, I had the opportunity to share that with them. And as a result of that, that person said, you know what, I'm feeling better. I feel, because what had been going on in this neighborhood here, and there was a number of folks shot in this situation. He said, I believe that God can take care of me and will guard me through all this. Now, I'm beating around the bush here, but again, what I want to see first of all is how vital faith is. We have a verse here over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And simply what God's saying there, I want to be taken at my word. I want you to trust what I say is true. And then I want you to take action to my word of God. I want you to learn the word of God, but then I want to take it into your life. I want you to practice the things that I'm teaching you and showing you. I know when I trusted Christ as Savior, I began to read the Bible and understand what God wanted me. And I realized the first thing that God wanted me to do in my Christian faith was to be visual about it. I began to realize, without even knowing it, that God was beginning to change my life. And how I knew that was when I was on a construction job. All of a sudden, folks began to be a little leery of me. My language changed. I stopped using profanity. I stopped doing a number of things there, no longer listening to certain kinds of jokes. Kind of what was going on in my life is what we see over here in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And of course, God said, that's what I want you to be as a witness for me. I want you to be out there and be a visual witness. One of the things I did when I got saved here at Church of the Open Door, I decided I want to make let the world know I'm a Christian. So I went out and I wore a hat to work. I was a carpenter. So I got a little red gold cross like that. And so I went around the job and I'd go around there and I'd talk to people and I'd get right up to them. And I'd say, you know, hey buddy, how you doing? And you know, I wouldn't point to my cross, but I wanted to see, hey, there, you see what I got on my head? Now, hey, go ahead and ask me a question about that. Let's see where we can go with this. And I began to realize, you know, God said, you know what, you're changing in ways, and that cross didn't need to be a part of that. You're changing. Your language has changed. The things you do have changed. People see the Lord Jesus Christ working in and through you. On the job that I was working on, when I first came to know the Lord and began to live for the Lord, I guess, there were a number of fellows there that found out I was a Christian. And they began to give me a hard time about that. They had one time where I was walking out of the building and they threw water off. And I was a foreman on the job. And they threw water down there and they got me all wet and all that. And so I went and talked to them about it and began to give them, you know, talk to them about the Lord. And it was my first real challenge on knowing the love of Christ and having to love those who despitefully use you. All right. And so I asked the Lord to help me to deal with that. And he did. And I told him, I said, and by the way, God loves you. He really cares about you and he wants to help you. Well, they passed that off. And then as time went by, there was a day when I got on the job and these guys were really giving me a hard time about my faith and making fun of me and all that and whatever. Well, the day came when I pulled onto the job and I was in my truck sitting there and all of a sudden these three guys came up to my truck. And I looked at him. I said, "Oh, here we go. We're going to start before I even get out of the truck, giving me a hard time." And so they came up and they indicated for me to wind the window down. And they came to me and told me. He said, "Hey, Rick," he said, "we want you to know something." I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Our brother went home last night and he was drunk in the car and he tried to get out of the car while they were going down the road at 60 miles an hour. And Rick, I want you to pray for my brother. I want you to pray for him." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. We know there's something different about you. We see you praying all the time when you eat your lunch and all that. And we want you to be aware of this. And we want you to support our brother in prayer." I said, "Well, I can do better than that. I can go see him if you want me to." Well, they didn't exactly want me to do that. But from that point on, we began to see a difference between me and them. All right. They began to look at me in a way that was different than what it had been before that. And I began to thank the Lord for that. Over here we see this verse where it talks about the boldness of Peter and John and our need to be bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need today in America, we need stand-up Christians to know what they believe and stand up for what they believe. I have a number of folks that I talked to, matter of fact, just this week, and they were like, "You know, Pastor Rick, we're so intimidated by all that's going on. We feel like we need almost to apologize for what we believe in." I said, "Well, you know what? God can help you. What you need to do is you need to start praying for boldness. You need to pray and ask God to help you do what you can't do. God will answer that prayer. God is more than willing to do that, to make you a better witness and a testimony for him." And, of course, we all deal with that in our own personal lives. I know as I talk to folks today, and boy, I tell you, it was just recently here. Folks are coming to me about family members that have gotten into a lifestyle that does not honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're like, "You know, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to say to a person like this." Well, what you need to say first and foremost is that you love them, that God loves them. All right. They need to know that. I think that's going to break the ice. But they need to know that you like, well, you say, well, Pastor Rick, that's what I struggle with. I want to love them, but I don't know how to love them. I don't know how to deal with the situation that they're going through here. Well, over, and this is probably where I really wanted to get to here, but over in 2 Timothy, all right, we see in chapter 2 there, God gives us an example. Many folks right now just don't know how to respond. How do I deal with these? How do I talk to people about things that are well, basically, they hate us for? How do I explain that? Well, over here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says here, first of all, right, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them to call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So, first thing he tells us here, this youthful lust. It's kind of like allowing our emotions to take control. Not, you know, surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God and asking God to give us the wisdom and discernment on how to best deal with the situation. He says here, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them to call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. And that means basically, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this person? How would he help this person to see there the way? I want to talk to them and I want them to see the light here, but I struggle so much with my emotions and how I really, well, it's a big struggle here. Well, verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do general strife. We have a lot of people today that they do that. They're very good at drawing us into a fight. They hit our hot spots there where they make fun of somebody or they say something belittling there, or they try to get right in your face. Well, God tells us here, okay, foolish and unlearned questions. Don't be allowed to go into an argument with them. Don't get at the point where you're debating this thing out. I had a guy one time that I was, he was my soul winning trainer. All right, he was training me to lead people to Christ, and I had already been at Open Door. This was a college there. And so he was there to help me learn how to do that. Well, every door we went to, this guy got into a major confrontation with the person that we were talking to. I mean, he could just, it's like he picked a fight. I remember one time we were at the door there, and I couldn't say a whole lot because I was the one that didn't know what I was doing. So I'm sitting there, and then he gets over there, and this guy got so mad at him, he had a wristwatch on his wrist here, okay? It broke loose and fell on the ground. He was so wound up like that. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, you're going about this the wrong way. And I went over to him, and I showed him these verses here where it says, verse 23, the foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife, the servant of the Lord. Now, this is real important. Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And you're not. All right? You're not. You're not giving these people a chance to share their heart. You go right into this thing with an argument in mind. You know already what this guy is thinking. You know how he's going to respond to you. And you go in there, and boy, they respond that way because you're drawing them into that. And so I told him, I said, right here it says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, all right, and apt to teach and patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose himself. If God prevents you, will lead him to repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth. That is so simple. So I told the brother that. I said, you know what, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. It's not me rebuking you. You're my trainer and all that goes along with that. I said, but how about this next visit we have? How about letting me go up there and I'm going to take the lead role in this thing and you can stand back there and listen to what I'm going to say. I mean, you've been training me for I don't know how many weeks it was. Now, look, give me a shot at it, okay? So we went to this house. I knocked on the door and boy, oh boy, the guy had this thing set up. The woman that came to the door came to us there. She was black and blue all over her face. And I thought, boy, God, is this not a divine appointment or what? Man, God, I can't believe this because I know exactly, I'm in this neighborhood. I know what this neighborhood's all about, and I know what goes on here. And so I thought, man, God, God, give me your grace, give me the strength, give me the wisdom. So she came to the door and asked us what we were there for, and I told her that we were here in the neighborhood telling people about Jesus Christ and how he wants to save them from their sins. Well, the guy over here, it was my trainer. He's over here. And oh, yeah, that's right. No, you shouldn't have said that, Rick. I'm talking to this woman. He's telling me that at the same time. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, what are you doing? And so we're there going through this, and I'm sharing the gospel. The lady gets saved. Praise God. Well, the next thing you know, her husband, who was twice her size, comes to the door. And we know exactly, I could tell when, by looking at him, this is exactly the reason why that woman's face was so bruised and beaten up. It was because of him. And so I looked at him, and this guy's over here trying to tell me what to say, because he figures this is a tough one for Rick. He might not know what he's doing and all that. So he's over here telling me what I ought to say. I know what I need to say and all that. And finally, I got to the point I was so confused and so upset by what was going on and the need I saw in front of my eyes, I started crying. I said, "Would you please be quiet and let me tell them about Christ?" "Well, okay, go ahead. Thank you." Well, I'll tell you what, I was broken in two. But God said, "You know what, Rick, I needed you to go through all that, because that guy over there is what broke your heart. And I got you to the point now." And I'll tell you what, I was weeping because I thought, "Dear God, this guy has got to get saved. I can't leave this woman in this house knowing that she's going to be with this, that she's probably married this guy." And so as I shared the gospel with this guy and told him that God loved him, and there was a perfect evidence there that he's unworthy of that love. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Next thing I know, this guy started crying too. He broke down. And I was going through it. I think I focused mainly on God so loved the world and put his name in there and all that. Well, he began to cry along with me. The wife began to cry. The guy over here taking notes, he was still telling me how I didn't do it right. You're not on target, brother. You're really making a mess of this thing, okay? And so I went ahead and prayed with the guy. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm not kidding you. He grabbed his wife, and I thought, here we go again. I mean, what's going to happen now? Well, he grabbed his wife and hugged her and kissed her. I wanted to kiss him. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't believe what God was doing here in this situation. The guy's over here taking notes on me, all right? And so we have a hallelujah time. We know we see exactly it was a perfect example of this right here where it says the servant of the Lord must not be strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient and teaching in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. If God, peradventure, will lead them to repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth. And let me tell you what, brother, that's exactly what God did in that case there. I mean, I've never seen God get a hold of a heart so real and so dramatically. And I've led a lot of people to the Lord over years as what he did with that man. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I saw in that situation there that true faith is a visual thing. And boy, I thank God for it. And so, like I said, we had a praise and hallelujah time as a result of that. And then we turned around to walk away. And that guy shared with me the most interesting piece of information, but it was true from top to bottom. I mean, Paul talks about himself over here as being nothing but a clay pot, right? I'm nothing but a clay pot. I'm valueless. I'm a broken clay pot. Who wants a broken clay pot? I don't want a broken clay pot. So we turn away and we're walking down the sidewalk, and he said, "You know what? It just goes to show you that God will use anything." And I said, "You're exactly right. God will use me. I'm nothing special. I'll tell you that right now. You know that as well as anybody." But he said to me, he said, "You know what? I see that that's what he walked away from. All right. The fact that, yes, God can use anything." I said, "Well, take heart in that, because you're going to be a trainer." And I guess he's still out there training people today. I don't know. But nonetheless, okay, in that situation, we saw a vivid picture of the visual effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to see that. Again, God wants the credit for that. Like these verses here, it's in where it tells us here, the foolish and unlearned questions. I had a fellow over here that was making statements that were very foolish. Okay? But ignore that. If I had gotten into an argument with him, which is what he wanted me to do at that door there, we would accomplish nothing there, okay? We would have left that house, nobody would have been saved, and there would have been no difference there. But I didn't do that. I realized that God had gotten me to the point where I knew that was wrong. And so we allowed the Lord to work there, and God did amazing work and a miracle there. And so, yes, definitely saving faith. Our faith should be a visual thing, but it's also, and as we see here, all right, true faith is a vocal thing. I believe, therefore, I have spoken. We have a lot of things we believe in here, but you know what, dear Christian? We need to get school. We need to learn. We need to have a course on how to deal with all the social problems we have in America today. How do we deal with people that come from certain lifestyles? Now, we have the gospel, and Pastor Ray's class helps us with that. But there are a lot of questions that people ask related to this in families, and they want to know. All right, I want to be, first of all, Pastor, I want to be convicted about this. Because I'm finding people today, they're being easily swayed, okay, with Satan's lies. Satan's the liar and the father of lies, and he is good at lying. He's good at deceiving us. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how many people are being drawn in or thinking, well, questioning things that we know are true, okay? That homosexuality is not a good thing. It's a destructive thing. It is something that leads to a destructive lifestyle. It is something that leads you to a lifestyle where you're going to more than likely die early, all right? And what people don't realize a lot of time, yes, God is judging these things, okay? The epidemic we're having right now in our nation with AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases, it is epidemic in our country, all right? The judgments are going on right now. And what we do, we're rescuing the perishing. You're living a lifestyle that's going to lead to massive destruction. And I love you too much to let you go on doing this. I must tell you the truth. And sometimes we as Christians need to fortify ourselves and get our hearts ready to be able to do that. Because boy, they know how to get our goat. I'll tell you that right now. They've gotten my goat a couple times where they want to draw me in and not love and care for them the way I should. All right. But God said, you know what? I can help you with these things. It's so. I see it so often. We don't take time. God said, I'm showing you your weaknesses. There are certain things inside of you that, man, you've got a problem here, brother, and it's hindering you from being used by me. I want to use you in a dramatic way. I want to turn the world upside. But until you get to the point to accept the problems you've got and these little glitches you have, I can't help you. Because when you accept it, then I'm expecting you to come and pray and ask me to help you to change these things, to help you to deal with that. We have, and you know what? That's exactly what God wants. We think, you know, I don't want to admit that I'm incapable of certain areas. Well, I tell you what, when I got the call from Pastor today, I thought, boy, I thought about all the areas that I'm inept in, okay? The devil came alongside of me, and I'll tell you what, he wouldn't give me a minute's rest. I'm not kidding you. He's telling you, Rick, you need time. You can't do anything up there. You know, I don't, and what was the pastor thinking about? And I was wanting to, well, I'll tell you, I was ready to have a tag team match up here and get everybody up here to pray for at least 10 minutes. But that was what Satan does to us, dear friend. And I know, we all know our weaknesses, but you know what? God said, I'm more than able to give you what's necessary to overpower those weaknesses, to make you into a bold Christian. The thing that makes us not bold is the fact that we're so easily intimidated. We're so easy persuaded that we can do nothing, even though Christ can strengthen us. And God said, you know better than that. But again, what we oftentimes do, we step in areas that we don't belong in. We think God needs help, all right? And when we think God needs help, we don't have much time for prayer. Why pray? I can do it, all right? It's a supernatural work, and I know all that, but I tell you what, I've been through the soul winning course. I got it down, brother. I can do these things. And so therefore, you know, yeah, I don't pray a whole lot about it, you know. Now I get a tough case once in a while where I can see right away this is going to be a challenge, and I might shoot one up to heaven. That's one person told me, I'll just shoot it up to heaven and get God to take care of the situation, and I'll be all right. Well, dear friend, no, that's not the case here. You know, we need to know that we are not able, but we know that God is able. Like, again, it says here to us, okay? All right? But the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't get wound up, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. And how often do you keep teaching? Over and over and over again. I've got members of my family that I've been praying for probably for 30 years now, and they're still as hard as a nut when it comes to responding to the gospel. But I have faith in my God. I know my God can wear him out. He's eternal. He'll never give up. I remember that we had a situation with Carol's brother. We loved this guy. He was a man's man. I mean, to tell you what, he was big in the corporate world. He went to Vietnam, and he was in the Marines. He was a captain of Marines. He got medals because he was in there. I mean, he was a guy, we just plain loved him in so many ways. And yet, he was the hardest person in our family to lead to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had times where we thought, Lord, it's just not working. And I guess in some ways we got impatient with God. I mean, God, how patient do we have to be here? And then God would take me back to this verse, okay, and reminding me here, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, God peradventure will lead them to repentance to acknowledge the truth. Rick, I will do this. Don't you get in my way. Don't you go in there and mess this thing up. You do what I want you to do. You be faithful to share the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll even pierce him. But you let me take care of this situation. Well, I'll tell you what. That man he did trust Christ as Savior. It was a hallelujah time. But what we found out was how God was working in his life all those many years. He had a situation where he was living next to a fellow down there in Orlando. And this fellow next door, which we didn't know anything about, well, this man had a terrible tragedy came into his life. His son fell in their pool and basically drowned. But as a result of that, they were able to keep this individual somehow on a certain amount of life support, where he was just kind of like a vegetable or whatever like that. They couldn't let him go. Well, this man's testimony was sterling. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus. He was a bold Christian. So every time my brother-in-law, who we thought, man, God, you're not, what's happening here? We don't see anything happening. Well, every time my brother-in-law got in his car to go away on a major trip, that man came out no matter what time of the day or night it was, got with him and prayed for him to have safe traveling mercies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time he went away. And then we found out later on that a man that was would help his wife out with different things while he was away, he was also a Christian. God said, you know what, Rick, I'm working here. I've got this thing under control. You're going to be amazed when he does trust you. But again, okay, God, remember, I will lead him to repentance. I know what makes him tick. I know what's going on in my, I know the things that are holding him back. I know what he went through. He's up to the day he died. He had issues with all that went on with him over in Vietnam and war. He was on the battlefront the whole time. All right. We didn't know all that. We didn't understand. God said, I know all that. And I love this guy. You love him? Did you die for this guy? Did you give your son for him? Well, no, he didn't do that. I said, you know, but God said, well, I did. I did. And I will take care of this. You've got to have faith in me. You've got to trust me that I will do what I say I will do. And dear friend, the day came when he did trust Christ as Savior. I'll never forget that as long as I live. We didn't know it for sure. But the interesting thing in all that, as a testimony here with him, all right, on Father's Day, we were up in our training institute there. We got a call, and it was a call from Florida telling us that Bobby was playing basketball with a group of Christians on a Sunday afternoon and dropped dead on the basketball court. Died right there on the spot. And that was almost, I think, about 2 weeks after we got confirmation that he had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Is God in control of the drama of our life? Does God? He's never late. He is always on time. And boy, was he on time in this situation. It's interesting to also know he didn't have time to be a witness like he would have been. I mean, he'd have been a witness for sure. No doubt about it. But God said, don't you worry. I had him in my grip. When he died, the place that he worked at down there, he was a big manager of all that was going on. The people were so stricken by his death, they could not do anything. They couldn't work. They couldn't do anything. And so it's interesting also, he died in the arms of a Baptist preacher playing basketball, which floored us. I mean, he didn't like Baptists at all. So he died with this Baptist, okay? He was there, and because that Baptist preacher was the one there holding him in his arms as his life slipped away, my sister-in-law, who was a very devout Catholic, she saw that going on there. She said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have that preacher do his funeral. He's going to do his funeral. All right, well, I'll tell you what, he was a Baptist preacher down in Orlando, Florida. Well, he got in there, and I'll tell you, he preached the gospel red hot. I mean, he didn't leave a stone unturned. People trusted Christ. The funeral home was packed. All right, well, they shipped him back up here to Maryland. Okay, we had a service here. I got to share the gospel there and saw a nun saved that day at the funeral. She came up there after I did, and I went through John chapter 14 and all that, and And she got, she did get saved, okay, not from my credit. Well, the guy who was a big wheel with AT&T was there at the service, and he came up to my wife and told her, he said, "We cannot get this place going again. There is so much mourning and grief there." He said, "I've been thinking and thinking on what I need to do to get this factory back online again. I don't know what to do." But he said, "You know what? Since I came up here and after this committal service we had here in Maryland," he said, "I think I know just exactly what I'm going to do." I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "I'm going to have that Baptist preacher that got there at his service and preach the gospel." He didn't say gospel. He didn't know what it was, but it was good. "I'm going to have him come. I'm going to set a tent up outside the factory there, and I'm going to have everybody that works in there go through there and hear the message that he shared at his funeral." He said it just warmed our hearts. It was, for what we can understand, he got saved. And so as a result of that, all right, many people, several thousand people heard the gospel. They all went through the tent and heard about Jesus Christ and his salvation. I'll tell you what, you know, we got a job to do today, don't we? But you know what? God is always working. He is always working. You can depend on that. And we need to be bold, but we also need to be patient and allow the Lord to work in his way at his time. You may be here today and you say, "Well, Pastor Rick, I've been praying for something for years, for a person for years to get saved. I've got loved ones that are breaking my heart. Breaking my heart right now. I don't know what to do." Well, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. All right. God's not willing that any should perish. All right. He said, "I know it's necessary here, but you need to let me have the time. And you need to keep knocking on my door." All right. You need to keep knocking. Don't give up. God says, don't give it up on me. All right. And don't give up on your prayer life and what you're doing there. If you're here today and you've got somebody like my brother-in-law, Bobby, or you got somebody in your life right now, you might have a person that's struggling with a lifestyle that's not honoring to the Lord. You know where it's going to lead. You know it's not the thing that person needs to do. Well, dear friend, you need to not give up on the Lord. You need to trust that he is working on your behalf, that God will lead him to repentance. That's his goal. And he will do that. He'll do it in ways that maybe we'll just... it'll be marvelous to see. But nonetheless, God will do that. Let's go ahead and pray for a moment here. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, so much for your watch, care, and love. We thank you that we can trust you, Father, with all the drama, especially the people we love so dearly, Lord, and care so much about. People we know that, Lord, if the trumpets sound today, they would not be in heaven. They would be left behind. Father, help us to realize that you're the one that leads to repentance, Father. You're the one that's long-suffering, and that we just need to be patient and allow you to have the time and not give up, Lord, on trusting you to do what's necessary in their lives. Father, again, we just thank you so much for the fact that we have this church. We thank you for this day. We're celebrating our independence, and Lord, our hearts are broken when we think about our nation now as wanting to be independent of you. Lord, it's our job to stand up and make a difference here and show our nation in so many different ways how much we need you, Lord, in our works and ministry. Help us to be stand-up Christians, Lord, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this now in Jesus' name.